Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We bless your name for this wonderful time of fellowship. We come before you, O Lord, even as we study your word. We pray that speak to us, transform our hearts, and let your name be glorified mightily in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. It's always a joy when we have new faces in the church. So once again, Ashley, you're welcome. You're welcome. And we hope that you'll be blessed even being with us throughout the years. We hope you're going to be here for at least 20 years. I'm joking. As the Lord leads you in that regard. So family, we thank God once again for the opportunity to sit at his feet to study his word. The theme for today's sermon is the judgment of God. The judgment of God. Majority of the time when people hear about the essence of judgment, people are a bit scared, and it's not a topic people wholesomely want to talk about. But one of the most important things as a church we need to reiterate is that there is a day of judgment and there is a day of accountability. Turn to someone, tell the person, there is a day of accountability. Tell someone sitting beside you, there is a day where you will answer questions. There is a day where you will be rewarded. And there is a day where wickedness will be punished. Our key scripture is from Lamentations 2:17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his word, which he commanded long ago. He has thrown down without pity. He has made the enemy rejoice over you and exalted the might of your foes. So the book of Lamentation is going to be our focus for the next 2 weeks. If you've been here for quite some time, you've realized that one of the things we like to do in XICF is to have character studies, is to have topical studies, and also to have book and chapter reviews. So in the light of trying to understand the judgment of God, we are going to be looking at the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations. So let's go straight into some facts that we need to highlight from the book of Lamentations. The book was written after Babylon's destruction of Jerusalem around 586 before Christ, and does not expressly mention its author, but is traditionally attributed to prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet who witnessed the destruction of Judah. So the book was written around 586 AD, and it was written after the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. And in essence, we can see that the book nowhere mentions its author, but traditionally, looking at the journal and the writing style, we can attribute it to the prophet Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. Why is he called the weeping prophet? Because many of his books, many of his accounts were centered on the tribulations, were centered on the desolations, were centered on the disobedience of Jerusalem. And in that light, we also see how he witnessed the judgment of God concerning the disobedience of Jerusalem. The second point I highlighted is this. Lamentations carries a central theme of sorrow and hope, revealed in five poems of lament that highlights the result of sin and God's righteous judgment, whilst giving hope in times of despair because of God's unchanging love. So when you read the book of Lamentations, it has five chapters, and these five chapters are five poems, And these poems reveal the consequence of going against God's word. The poems reveal the consequence of disobedience, the consequence of disrespect, the consequence of walking away from the will of God, and also reveals God as the righteous judge. From the key scripture, we see that God has spoken. God has written his word. God has told you what will happen based on your action. So if indeed you live for his glory, there is a reward for you. But if you live contrary to his will and to his glory, what will happen is there's going to be judgment. And this judgment will leave you in desolation and in destruction. Amen. So we also see that within the frame of the book of Lamentations, it's a sense of hope. Why hope? Because in the place where God is a God of his word, and God is a God of purpose, we can trust that if he said something, he will do it. And in the light of his judgment, in the light of his righteousness, we also see that God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love and compassion. That when God shows you his judgment, he also makes way for mercy. And this is all encapsulated in the book of Lamentations. The final point I highlighted was this. The book served as a reminder to the people of Jerusalem not to disobey God, and serves as a warning of eternal damnation to us today if we live contrary to the will of God. I was reading an article from C.S. Lewis, The Damned, and he said, hell is locked from the inside. Hell is locked. I didn't understand what he was trying to say. So literally, I went on reading. I further read. And when I read, guess what he was trying to say? He said, hell is locked from the inside, meaning that anybody who is in hell chose to be there. And I'm like, how did people choose to be in hell? People choose to be in hell by deciding to be away from the love of God and walking away from his will. If you reject God today, on the day of judgment, he will also reject you. If you reject Christ today, on the day of judgment, Christ will also reject you. Hell is a place of damnation for the devil and his cohorts, not the children of God. But if we decide to walk away from the love of God whilst we are on earth, on the day of reckoning, the Lord will have nothing to do with us. Not because he is not merciful, but because you chose to walk away from him. Amen. Let's do a quick review of the book of Lamentations. Let's do a quick review of the book of Lamentations. And this is where I encourage people to take out your phone and take pictures. Because I encourage you that in the light of reading the book of Lamentations and studying it, you go home, personally study it as well. And as you study it, you can go through the write-up, the review, and then check and see if what Pastor Perry is saying is true. It's very, very important. Like I said, the book of Lamentations has five chapters. Five chapters, and if I'm right, about 127 verses, five chapters. The first chapter points to Jerusalem's destruction. It actually refers to Jerusalem as a daughter, a lady that is left in distress, a lady that is left without love, a lady that is left lonely. And mind you, this is as a result of disobedience. So the first chapter highlights the destruction of Jerusalem. In essence, God's judgment brought destruction because they refused to heed to the word of God. In the light of that, we see a clear undertone of loneliness and groaning for their lover. That Jerusalem groans for its lover. Jerusalem is groaning for her lover, saying, where is my beloved? Because the very moment you begin to walk away from God, he does not leave you, but you leave him. The very moment you begin to walk in disobedience, it's not as though the Spirit of the Lord leaves you. It is you who shuts yourself up to the things of the Lord. So there is a place of loneliness when we walk in disobedience. There is a place of groaning seeking for our lover, who is the Lord. And in chapter 2, we see the place of the anger of God. A poem that highlights how angry God was at the disrespect and the disobedience, at the actions of the people of Jerusalem going contrary to his will. And here, we see the writer portraying a sense of anger and a sense of exhortation that beware of the anger of God. Beware of the destruction of going contrary to the will of God. But in today's world, people do not fear the Lord. People do not fear the Lord. We can sit in his presence and actually be thinking of sin. We can be in the presence of the Lord. We can actually hear the word of the Lord. Don't do it. But still, we want to do it. People do not fear the Lord. We read the scriptures, and yet they mean nothing to us. So in the chapter 2, there is a sense of anger, indignation at the sheer rebellion of the people of God, and an exhortation to behold the anger of God and to walk in the place of glorifying the Lord. Then we see chapter 3, Jeremiah's grief and Jeremiah's hope. In the light of Jeremiah's grief, we see how they have strayed from the faithfulness of God. But yet, he reminds himself that God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. That God does not change. And that if God is merciful, God will show mercy. So Jeremiah, in the face of tribulation, in the face of the judgment of God, recounts the faithfulness of God. Many of the time when you are going through a period of pain, sorrow, as a result of your disobedience, remember that the Lord is merciful. Remember that the Lord is compassionate. Remember that the Lord is still able to save. And with this, the underlying emotion was a broken heart, but he was still hopeful. In chapter 4, we also see the judgment of God again. And for me, the chapter 4 is very heartbreaking because you see a contrast, seeing how Jerusalem was before the judgment of God and how they are now. So it points out that the princes and the princesses of Jerusalem were as beautiful as gold, but now they walk portrayed as dirty as clay. It speaks of how they had abundance to eat, but now they eat their own children. The book of Lamentations said they had so much to eat, but now they cook the children of their womb. That should tell you how disastrous it is to walk away from the Lord. That should tell you how much destruction awaits you if you refuse to walk in the will of God. What would even is supposed to be a blessing eventually becomes destruction for you. So there's a sense of desperation and a sense of disappointment that he saw the beauty before, but now he sees the desolation after. In chapter 5 is Jeremiah's prayer. And this is a prayer seeking that the Lord will forgive and restore. One thing I want to tell you, no matter how bad the situation may be, and it could have been as a result of your own actions, don't hesitate to pray. No matter how dire the situation may be, it could be that, I messed up, you messed up, do not hesitate to go back to the Father. And I want to highlight the story of the prodigal son. He left his father after getting his inheritance. He went for wild parties and ended up squandering his money. But eventually, the Bible says he came to his senses and he ran to his father. And guess what? His father was standing every day watching from the hill to see if his son will be coming. And the Bible records that when he saw his son from afar, he started to run. Do you know what it means for a Jewish man to lift up his garments and begin to run? The Lord is eager to welcome you if you would genuinely repent. And I'm not talking about repentance that just comes with crying. Repentance is a change of mind. A change of mind that must follow with a change of actions. Don't just say sorry and not mean you're sorry. Amen. I remember there was a time when my wife was not so happy with me because I had the habit of eating at night. Whilst they were sleeping, and I'll be causing chaos in the kitchen. And my wife would tell me, don't do that, don't do that, it's bad. And every day I would say, I'm sorry, I would apologize. But yet, after studying and praying late into the night, before I slept, the smell of the chicken would draw me like a lover to his beloved. So one day my wife got annoyed and said, enough of your words. Don't say sorry if you don't mean it. It's not good when you continuously say sorry and yet it carries no value. At a point, it even loses its value. Ah, he's going to do it again. And glory to God, those days are behind me. Okay, so in an underlining tone throughout the whole book of Lamentations, we see prayers throughout the phases of distress. And prayer is very important. No matter how difficult the situation may be, don't stop praying. No matter how destructive your action would be, don't stop praying. Don't stop communicating. As spouses, no matter how difficult the argument would, don't stop communicating. Communicate from a good heart, but don't stop communicating. Prayer is communication with the Lord, true or false. And that is the place we draw strength. That is the place we see the mind of God. And that is the place we are encouraged. One of the things you hear people say, oh, give me space. Give me space. I don't want to talk now. Give me space. It's good to give space, but don't give too much space. Because if you give too much space, the devil can come and build a house there. So as much as you can, from our lesson between how we ought to communicate with God regularly, we ought to understand that communication is important even in the midst of the turmoil. And one of the things men need to learn how to do is to communicate. If you are sitting beside the man, tell the man, learn how to communicate. You know, sometimes men struggle to expressly reveal our minds. We struggle on being clear about our thoughts. That is why as a man, you need to be very intentional about your thinking process and be very careful with your words. How you share your words, be very, very careful with it. Don't just speak anyhow. Be very careful how you share your words. And also, some women also don't know how to communicate. They somehow feel men have got magic powers to read their minds. If you are sitting beside a woman, tell the woman, we cannot read your mind. Yeah, we cannot read your mind. So sometimes women think, he should know. No, he doesn't know. Sometimes what you might be annoyed at, what you might be so mad at, he has no clue. And if you leave him, he's going to go watch a football match. So communication is very important. And we see it as an underlining tone, even through the book of Lamentations, that even in your most lowest point, do not cease to pray to the Father. Do not cease to pray. In the chapter 1, we see the prayer which is made in chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. And it says, Father, see us. See how we have become. The people of Jerusalem groaned. They said, Father, see us. Look at how we have been destroyed. They call the Lord to see. And it's not as though the Lord is not seeing. He sees. But it's your sin that has turned you away from him. In the chapter 2, again, it says, look at us. Look
look at the way we have become. We have become your enemy. We have become your enemy. In chapter 3, they begin to get a bit bold, seeing that they were the beginning of the problem, but yet they call the Lord, Father, judge them. Judge the Babylonians, for they have come to destroy us. They have come to make waste to our young men and young women. And in the chapter 4, they get bold again. They say, avenge us. Avenge us, for they've destroyed our temples. The temple, the sanctuary that you said was not meant for any other nation. Look how they've ravaged the sanctuaries. And in the chapter 5, the most important prayer is a prayer of restoration. Don't hesitate to pray for restoration in the midst of your fall. There is no fall that can let the Lord not welcome you if you genuinely repent. But mind you, there is a time frame. There is no place for repentance after you die. So repent whilst you have life. I always hear people praying for the dead. Father, I pray for the dead that you would have mercy on them and that you would open heaven unto them. There is no way your prayers on earth can inform their judgment after they are gone. The greatest point may be comfort to their families. So whatever you have doing, do now. Don't say, I'll do later. If there's repentance, you have to repent. Repent now. Don't repent later. Don't say, I'll repent tomorrow. You are not promised tomorrow. The theme of the book of Lamentations is sorrow over sin, God's righteous judgment, and hope in mercy, in the mercy of God. The key verse again is Lamentations chapter 2, verse 17, which we read earlier. And it speaks of the Lord walking by purpose and accomplishing his word. Last time, when we did a review of the book of Hebrews, we studied the 5 warnings from the book of Hebrews. The Lord is warning us. The Lord is, heed to the warnings of the Lord. Don't be proud. Heed to the warnings of the Lord. Don't be proud. Heed to the warnings of the Lord. A time cometh when grace and mercy will give way for the judgment of God. Christ in Lamentations. Jesus is portrayed through Jeremiah weeping over the sin of Jerusalem. In Luke 13, 34 to 35, we see Jesus weeping for the people of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem! Oh, Jerusalem! You have killed all the prophets. You have killed all the messengers. There will be no respite for you until you behold me as he who comes blessed in the name of the Lord. There is a place where we need to see that God, even in the old times and in the current times, weeps over our sin. Weeps over our sin. Weeps over our sin. I highlighted 3 scriptures pointing towards the judgment of God and the actions of the Israelites. And the first scripture, Lamentations 1 verse 8. And I read, Jerusalem sinned grievously. Therefore she became filthy. All who honored her despised her. For they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns her face away. When you continue to live a life of sin, destruction is inevitable. Disgrace is inevitable. The judgment of the Lord is so that if you walk the path of sin, you will be consumed, you will be destroyed. So we see, they sin grievously. The idea of grievousness comes with a certain level of consistency. They would sin, repent, made a practice of sin. And the judgment of the Lord was kindled against them. And guess what? When the judgment of the Lord was kindled against them, they became filthy. They lost their beauty. All who honored her despised her. They lost their honor before men. For they have seen her nakedness. The idea of nakedness speaks of disgrace. It speaks of shame. She herself groans and turns her face away. Remember, when we practice sin, it's not as though God turns his face away from you, as though he cannot save you. It is you who begins to walk away from God. The second verse, Lamentations 2 verse 5. The Lord has become like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all its palaces. He has laid in ruins its strongholds. And he has multiplied in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. When you sin, you become an enemy of God. When you sin, when you walk against the will of God, you become an enemy of God. When you treat people badly, you become an enemy of God. When you hurt people, when you hurt your wife, you hurt your husband, when you disrespect your mother, when you disrespect your father, you become an enemy of God, because God hates wickedness. God hates sin. The reality of walking away from God is that you lose his friendship and you begin to live in enmity with him. And if God is your enemy, destruction awaits you. The third verse I highlighted, Lamentations 4 verse 1. How the gold has grown dim. How the pure gold is changed. The holy stones lie scattered at the head of every street. And this is what happens when we do not heed to the place of God's call to obedience. Just like the Israelites, we lose our value. The people of Israel were the chosen. And as they being chosen, they were people honored. They were people blessed. But because of their disobedience, they lost the honor. Because of their disobedience, they lost their value. They began to become slaves unto their foes. And that is what happens to us when we walk in disobedience. We lose our path. We lose our way. We lose our purpose. And our life that was meant to become a blessing becomes a form of advice for other people. Don't be like this person. Don't be like that person. When you live for the glory of God, your life is filled with honor. Your life is filled with the glory of God. Amen. So I highlighted a short write-up. God is the righteous judge. His justice and holiness is perfect. And he has authority over all creation. God is the righteous judge. His judgment is righteous. Whatever judgment God pronounces in your life today and in eternity is perfect. Judgment sometimes is seen in our life today. Sometimes because of our disobedience, some things happen now. And we do not learn from them. We ought to learn from our mistakes. We ought to learn from our mistakes. If you are sitting beside someone, tell the person, learn from your mistakes. If you are sitting beside someone, shake the person by the shoulder, tell the person, learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. His justice and holiness is perfect. He has authority over all creation. That is why he has the potency to be a judge. God rewards righteousness and punishes wickedness in accordance with his divine law and moral order. The divine law and moral order of the Lord is established in Christ. Romans 8. It says, in Christ, there is no condemnation. It means if you are outside Christ, condemnation is your portion. Then he goes on to say, and he punishes wickedness in accordance with his divine law and moral order. In God's ability to judge righteously is a warning to the wicked and a promise of vindication and reward to the faithful. Vengeance is the Lord. The Lord is a righteous judge. Don't take vengeance into your own hands. Don't make it your priority to take vengeance against your husband, against your wife, against your siblings, against your roommate. Don't make it a point to be the one to bring vengeance. Leave it to the Lord. Leave it to the Lord. He is the righteous judge. He is the righteous judge. And he will reward you faithfully. Especially if you live a life for his glory. He will reward you. How you treat people, God will reward you. How you serve in the house of the Lord, God will reward you. How you are raising up your kids, God will reward you. The sacrifices you are making for your family, God will reward you. There are so many women that are making huge sacrifices for their family. God will reward you. God will reward you. God will reward you. But one major thing I want to highlight before we get to the conclusion is the plea for restoration. I want to say this. If you have made a mistake and you are seeing the judgment of God in your life, don't hesitate to pray the prayer of restoration. Lamentations 5:21. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. Restore us. Restore us, O God. All that we have lost because of our disobedience, restore us. All that seemingly has gone away as a result of our disobedience, restore us, O Lord. Amen. So in conclusion, Jerusalem disobeyed God and received the consequence for their disobedience. Destruction, desolation was upon them. They still saw hope in time of despair because God is true to his word and character. God is compassionate. God is merciful. Call unto him whilst he is near. Call unto him whilst he is near. Repent whilst he is near. Amen. Let us be reminded that we will give account for every deed done in the body before Jesus Christ. Remember that you will give account. Remember, you will give account for everything you do. You will account for everything that is done in secret. You will account. You will account for every disrespect to your husband, to your boss, you will account. You will account. And there will be rewards. There will be rewards for those who were patient. There will be rewards for those who were long-suffering. There will be rewards. There will be rewards. There is still time to make it right. God is able to restore. And restoration begins in Jesus Christ. Restoration begins in Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's very difficult when you are in the path to make things right. But remember, God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Begin to pray and ask the Lord. Tell the Lord to help you on this journey. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour,
God, how I need you.
Pray. Pray. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to strengthen you. Ask the Lord. If you need to repent, this is the time to repent. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Pray. Pray. Tell the Lord, Father, if I have walked in disobedience, forgive me. If I have not walked in love, forgive me. Lift up your voice and pray. And if you know you have any sin that you need to deal with, tell the Lord to strengthen you to deal with this sin. If you have any sin that you are struggling with, ask the Lord to help you. The Lord to help you. The Lord is merciful. He is gracious. Ask the Lord to help you. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word that has come unto us. Be glorified in our lives. Help us, O Lord, to walk in your will, to walk in your love. Strengthen us. And to anyone here, O Lord, whose strength is failing, Father, I pray for them. Those who are crying in their hearts, I pray for them. Father, let your name be glorified in their lives. Let your peace be upon them. Let your goodness be upon them. Anyone here who seemingly is giving up because life might be difficult, Father, draw them near to you. Father, we pray your intervention in families, in marriages. We pray your intervention. Be glorified, O Lord. Be glorified. Let's pray into the week. Ask the Lord, Father, go ahead of me. In this week, go ahead of me. Go ahead of me in this week. Help me in this week. Help me in this week concerning my work. Help me, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen.